March 6th reading. Ignatius of Antioch, the Epistle to Polycarp, chapters 1-5. Greeting. Ignatius, who is also called Theophorus, to Polycarp, bishop of the Church of the Smyrnians, or rather, who has, as his own bishop, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, wishes abundance of happiness. Commendation and exhortation. Having obtained good proof that your mind is fixed in God as upon an immovable rock, I glorify him that I have been deemed worthy to behold your blameless face. May I always rejoice in God for this. I urge you, by the grace which clothes you, to continue pressing forward and to exhort others toward salvation. Maintain your position with all diligence, in both body and spirit. Preserve unity, which is of the highest value. Be patient with all, just as the Lord is patient with you. Support all in love, as you already do. Be devoted to constant prayer. Seek even greater wisdom than you now possess. Be vigilant, never neglecting your spiritual watchfulness. Speak to each person as God enables you. Carry the burdens of all, as a true athlete of Christ, for where the labor is great, the reward is even greater. Exhortations. If you love only the good disciples, there is no special merit in that. Instead, strive to win over the more difficult ones through gentleness. Not all wounds require the same remedy, some must be healed with softer treatment. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Matthew 10:16. You are made of both body and spirit so that you may deal wisely with visible challenges and pray for discernment regarding hidden matters. The times demand your prayers, just as a ship needs the wind, and a storm-tossed vessel longs for a safe harbor. Through prayer, both you and those under your care will reach God. Be sober, as an athlete of God. The prize before you is immortality and eternal life, and you are convinced of this truth. My soul and my chains are with you, whom I love. Warning against false teachers. Do not be disturbed by those who appear trustworthy yet teach false doctrines. Stand firm, like an anvil under the blows of a hammer. It is the mark of a great athlete to suffer wounds yet still emerge victorious. We must endure all things for God's sake, so that he may also bear with us. Increase your zeal, study the times, and look toward him who is above all time, the eternal, invisible one who became visible for our sake. Christ was impassible yet suffered for us, he was beyond touch yet became tangible for our salvation. In every way, he suffered on our behalf. The role of the church in caring for others. Do not neglect the widows, be their protector after the Lord. Let nothing be done without your consent, and do nothing apart from God's will. Be steadfast in your leadership. Gather the faithful together frequently. Call each one by name. Do not despise male or female servants, but neither let them grow prideful. Instead, let them submit more humbly for the glory of God, that they may receive a greater freedom from him. Let them not seek to be freed at the public expense, lest they become enslaved to their own desires instead. The duties of husbands and wives. Flee from all corrupt practices, but do not remain silent about them. Speak to my sisters, that they love the Lord and remain faithful to their husbands in body and spirit. Likewise, instruct my brothers to love their wives. As Christ loved the church. Ephesians 5:25. If anyone has the gift of remaining pure for the Lord, let them do so humbly, without boasting. If they take pride in themselves, they are lost. If they seek to be greater than the bishop, they are ruined. Men and women should marry with the bishop's approval, so that their union may be according to God's will, rather than driven by lust. Let all things be done to the honor of God. Augustine of Hippo. Confessions, Book 5, Chapter 5. Manichaeus and his false doctrines. Who commanded Manichaeus to write about these matters, when knowledge of them was unnecessary for piety? You, O Lord, have taught men to seek piety and wisdom. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Job 28:28. Even if one possessed full knowledge of the workings of the world, ignorance of you would still leave them in darkness. But Manichaeus, knowing nothing of these things, dared to teach them. His arrogance reveals that he had no true understanding of piety. The folly of worldly knowledge without truth. Even when a person has knowledge of these worldly matters, it is foolish to take pride in them. True wisdom is found in confessing to you, O Lord. Manichaeus, however, boasted in what he did not know, and in his deception, he sought to convince others that he was divinely inspired. He claimed that the Holy Spirit, the comforter and enricher of the faithful, personally dwelled in him. When his teachings about the heavens, stars, and the motions of the sun and moon were exposed as false, his sacrilegious arrogance was laid bare. Though these matters do not directly pertain to salvation, his prideful deception became evident. Not only did he speak falsely, but he also twisted knowledge and claimed divine authority over it. Patience with the ignorant, judgment for the proud. When I hear a Christian brother speak ignorantly about these things, I bear with him in patience. Such knowledge, about the nature and order of creation, does not harm a man's faith so long as he does not believe anything unworthy of you, O Lord, the Creator of all. However, if a person presumes that such knowledge is essential to faith and stubbornly insists upon falsehoods, then the danger is real. Yet, even in such weakness, our Mother Charity bears with the immature in faith, allowing them time to grow. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Ephesians 4:13-14. But Manichaeus was not merely an ignorant believer, he set himself up as a teacher, an authority, the very head and leader of those who followed him. His disciples did not believe they were following an ordinary man, but rather the Holy Spirit himself. The danger of false teachers. Who could see such madness and not abhor it once it was exposed? His teachings were convicted of falsehood, yet I had not yet determined whether the changes in the length of days and nights, the eclipses of the sun and moon, and other natural phenomena could be reconciled with his words. Even if I could have found some way to make them agree, doubt would still have remained in my mind. My faith in his teachings was not based on reason but on his reputation for godliness. I trusted in his authority rather than in truth itself. Thomas Aquinas. Summa Theologica, Part 1, Question 34. Whether word is taken essentially or personally. Objection. It seems that word is taken essentially rather than personally. For in God, all that is predicated of him signifies his essence unless it expresses a relation of opposition. But word does not express a relation of opposition, therefore, it must signify the divine essence rather than a distinct person. Responsio. It must be said that word is taken personally, not essentially. In God, a word signifies the conception of the intellect, as a word in us signifies what proceeds from our understanding. Since this intellectual conception exists as a relation within God, it does not denote the divine essence in itself but rather a person within the Godhead. The Son is properly called the Word because he proceeds from the Father as the expression of divine knowledge, just as a human word proceeds from the mind. However, since the divine intellect is the very essence of God, the Word is not distinct from the divine nature but only from the Father in relation. Thus, Word signifies a divine person, the Son, and is not a term applied to the divine essence absolutely but rather is referring to the one who is eternally begotten by the Father.